Welcome home, everyone. Thank you for joining in on this episode of Welcome Home with the Katinas. Welcome Home is a podcast where I, your host Josh, sit down for a conversation with different people who I admire and discuss whatever's on their mind, and especially focus on life at home in times like this. Wherever you are and however you're listening, thank you for your support, and once again, welcome home. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining in on this week's episode of Welcome Home with the Katinas. Thank you to those of you who patiently waited for this episode. This is going to be our last episode of the month of May. I know we're coming out like a day late, but the wait is worth it. I have a really great guest for the show today, and thanks for waiting. I want to start off by thanking all of you who do support this show. Prayerfully and financially, our cousin community and our Katina Ministries partners, you guys are the reason we're able to do this show. So thank you so much for your support. And for anyone who's listening and is curious about how you can support us financially, you can learn more about that if you visit thekatinas.com and click on the Give button there. You'll see all what Katina Ministries does through our music, our outreach, and our community. All three of those things are who we are and what we're called to do, and we do it with people just like you. So if you're interested, again, visit thekatinas.com and you'll find out more information there. All right, well, today, like I said, we have a special guest lined up, someone who has been on the show before. I was talking to him right before we press record, and he said he thinks it's been about 3 years since he's been on the show, which is crazy that the show's even been going on this long. But I'd like to welcome back to the show my cousin, River Katina. Riv, thank you for being here, bro.
Thanks for having me again. For those of you guys who don't know me or may have not been tuned into the last episode I was on, my name is River Katina. Josh is my cousin. I'm 21 years old and going into my last year of college. So it's good to be back on, and I'm glad to be here with you, Josh. Thank you.
Dude, I appreciate it. I know you are a busy man, and you're here on your summer break right now. You're home from school, and I know that summer days are not unlimited, so I appreciate you taking time to spend with me and with our audience.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'm honored.
I'd love to just start off by asking you, like, I know you just finished your junior year in college. Give us an update on, like, what's going on in your life as far as school and friends, family, whatever you think is relevant.
Yeah. So I actually was listening the other day when you asked me to our first podcast.
And, oh, really?
And I remember hearing myself talk about how I was scared of college and things like that. And here I am going in my senior year. It went by in the blink of an eye. What I'm doing right now is really trying to soak in now. It's almost like high school. It's like you're scared and then all of a sudden you're trying to soak it in. So I'm just hanging out with my brothers when I'm back home. Like you said, summer's short.
Yeah.
And when I'm at school, I'm just trying to get by academically. And then I'm trying to just spend time with my friends and have a good time.
I wish I would have gone back and listened to that episode, but this is a good question. What are, what were some of the things that you were afraid of when you were starting college? And do you think they were worthy of being afraid about?
Looking back, they maybe weren't worthy, but the things that I was afraid about happened, like going through stuff that you're just not used to have going through on your own. I remember my freshman year playing flag football. I broke my nose.
Yeah.
And my nose was like on the side of my face. And I when it happened, I was like, I'm about to have to go to the hospital by myself.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what's going to happen. I was scared of those types of things, and they've happened. So I'm grateful for it.
I think that part of a huge part, at least of my college experience, was actually like, doing a lot of things, maybe not going, I never had to go to the hospital while I was in college, but like you're doing a lot of things for the first time on your own. And I don't know. There's a lot of value in that, like those college years where you're not like completely on your own because mm-hmm. you're surrounded by people who are right. in the same situation as mm-hmm. you. And I think, you know, I hear a lot of conversations. I listen to like a lot of podcasts and stuff mm-hmm. about, is college still worth it? And, you know, I sympathize with both sides of the argument, but I don't know if I'd say it's worth it for everyone, but I do still think that there's value in college, like just the life experience that you get from it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's undeniable. At least in my, like, there's so much that I went through in college yeah. that I grew from, and it helped shape me.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other thing that I got out of college outside of my degree was relationships, mm. like friendships with people who I'm still friends with today mm-hmm. that are like a huge part of my life. And right. so, as you're entering in like this last year, you're graduating next spring.
Yep.
What's the goal for your senior year?
The goal for my senior year is, I think, to continue to lock in on who I want to be when I'm not a student anymore. Mm-hmm. Like right now I'm interning with your brother's firm at Northwestern, financial planning, just trying to continue to search and, put effort into things that I was not used to putting effort into. Like school, like this last year of school was by far the hardest year of school I've ever had. And I actually had to like fully apply myself to school, mm-hmm. which is something that I'm not used to.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to continue to just hone in on different areas of life that is about to hit me,
mm-hmm.
whether it be like finances or just continue to do more things on my own. Like we just said,
I should ask you this. What's your degree going to be?
So my degree is in business management, okay. and I minored in psychology, which I actually loved, yeah. but management.
Okay. Yeah. So that was my degree.
Management was.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. It was business management. Mm-hmm. This is funny. So I was in the school of business, mm-hmm. and my initial major was international business.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they still have that.
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
Yeah.
By the way, Riv goes to the college that I graduated right. from, so he's familiar. But I failed a class that was required for the international business degree. It was international finance. Mm-hmm. Did you have to take that?
No.
Yeah. So I failed it, I remember. And I went to my advisor the next semester. I was like, I'm not retaking that class. Like, yeah. I cannot do it. And so I was like, what can I change right. to that I can still get a degree right. in like a certain amount of time?
Yeah. yeah.
So I ended up going to management. So I didn't have to take international finance.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember, is Dr. Thompson still at the
Dr.
School of Business?
Thompson.
You would know.
I haven't.
Is it Griffin or Griffith?
Griffith.
He's the dean now. Okay, so
I had him this last semester.
Yeah, Griffith was like the associate dean when
he's
I was
hard.
There.
Hey, he's hard. His class is hard.
What class did you take?
Business analytics.
Yeah, I took that same class. That's funny.
Did you do well in that?
So I actually did.
Yeah.
That side of like the any class that involved like math
yeah.
in school of business, yeah. I did pretty well in.
Okay.
It was the other
like
ones.
Accounting.
Yeah, I was good at accounting. Yeah,
okay.
It was like the soft side of business, mm-hmm. like the marketing mm-hmm. and...
right. Actually, the management.
Yeah, that part, those classes were harder yeah. for me. But
oh, Dr. Thompson. I had him this semester.
What?
Dwayne Thompson.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. He's hard.
yeah, that was my toughest class.
I just had him and Griffith.
What class did you take with Thompson?
Management.
Okay. I don't think he was teaching that when I was there. Do you?
It was hard.
Do y'all still do, we just called it Strat.
No, I don't know. I'm not.
I'm sure you guys take it. It's like the capstone course for all business majors.
Okay.
When I was there, Thompson was teaching it.
Okay.
And I took it literally my last
Maybe
semester.
Maybe I'll have to take yeah. it.
It was the hardest class I ever took in college. I remember you kind of break off into, they call them strat groups. So mm-hmm. it was like me and three of my classmates mm-hmm. kind of went through the whole semester together.
Right.
And I spent more time with those three guys. It was two guys and a girl. The four of us, I spent more time with them than my friends my last semester.
We just did that in his class. We had a project at the end of the year, but the whole year you were with three or four students outside of class working on. So it's similar.
Did you take, did you take ops, I think is what we called it,
no.
where you do like a computer simulation? Like,
no, I haven't done that yet. Maybe that's to come.
Well, I encourage you to just put your nose down. Mm-hmm. And I remember that last year was probably the toughest for mm-hmm. me at school wise.
Yeah.
But that's exciting, man. I'm excited to see you walk across the stage, your diploma. Do you think you'll come back to Franklin afterwards, or are you up?
Oh,
in the
air? I would love to come back, probably stay at home for a year or so, work, save money, like practice saving money. That's one of those things that I think I'm looking forward to. But saving money and then eventually moving out, probably not in Franklin, but hopefully somewhere.
Are you
pretty close?
Are you, I know you said you're going through an internship right now.
Yep.
What's that?
So with Eli, which is Josh's brother and my cousin, we work at a financial planning firm, Northwestern Mutual, and where we're just passionate about serving a purpose in the financial industry, being helpful to people wherever, meeting them where they're at and being relevant to them, and just setting people up for the future.
Have you had, is this like a new experience for you?
Yeah. So I started with Eli about 6 months ago when I was still at school. So I basically learned everything, and took my test virtually, started having client meetings with Eli and our clients virtually. So being in the office this summer, I'm in my second or third week now. So I'm just really trying to, bask in that work environment and start to meet people. I was just walked by an office today and saw this younger worker in there that I never met. So I just popped in there and I'm trying to get familiar and introduce myself. So I'm excited.
That's awesome. Yeah. I wish I would have done something like that before I had graduated. Like just getting used to a work environment.
Right.
Like seeing if it's something
different.
Yeah. Is this something I want to spend my time doing? Mm-hmm. There's certain skills,
right.
like social skills,
exactly.
you gotta learn.
It's like if you figure out it's not what you want to do for the rest of your life, it's still an experience is going to serve a purpose mm-hmm. in some way, shape, or form.
So. I wish I would have done what you were doing. Is like experience that before graduating. The stakes get higher after you graduate because then you got to start like, you don't have a dorm to go back to or a cafeteria meal plan. You have more responsibility. Mm-hmm. So I think it's cool that you're doing that. And it's cool. What's it like working with Eli?
That's different too.
Yeah.
Obviously, like we've grown up with each other, but I've never seen Eli like as many times in a row or talked. Like we've talked probably at least three times a week for the last like bunch of weeks.
Yeah.
And that's been different, but it's been really cool to see Eli, like how passionate he is about my development. And also getting the point across that this is just an internship.
Mm-hmm.
So he really tries to take the pressure off of me and do his best to teach me. And he does a really good job in communicating. And he's obviously the best at what he does. So it's awesome to be able to be around somebody who's so disciplined and focused. So it's been really awesome.
That's good. That I'm glad it's a good experience.
Mm-hmm.
I know that like a lot of people talk about the struggle that can come with working with family.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like our family, not that it's not a struggle, but like I would say I'm not super averse, like against doing it just because I saw my dad and my uncles
right.
do it my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
I've always thought about that with, like me and Eli and my cousins, you guys. It's interesting. We do have like kind of a unique perspective that like the provider for our lives when we were growing up it was your dad. Mm-hmm. My dad was our provider, but I also, mm-hmm. it was like my uncles too. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's a unique thing. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like it kind of changed my relationship with my uncles because I understood like they're going out working for their family, but they're also working for me too. Right. I think that's a unique thing. And like, I'm sure that I've always told them they should write a book one day about what it's like working with family, mm-hmm. and like how to make it work.
Right.
Because I know that there's a lot of people who can't do it.
And like you said, it's almost encouraged not to do that. If you ever are going into something to make a living and you say that you're doing it with a family member, the other person always says like, ooh, are you sure about that? And the way they've been able to not just do it, but to continue to do it, mm-hmm. for years and years and years is, it's been something that me and my brothers are inspired by as well.
Yeah.
And in the way that they also just brought us all up around each other. Yeah. I think that we're excited to get to do that too when we grow up.
Yeah. I feel like that reaction that people have when it's like, are you sure you want to work with your, mm-hmm. family? I feel like there's actually a lot of wisdom in that, mm-hmm. because it's inevitable that like your heads
the
are
conflict is different. The conflict will be different because there's less barriers and there's lines that some people might typically tiptoe around, mm-hmm. and it could be for the better too, yeah. I think. So I think there's probably some pros in there as well.
Bro, like I remember I worked a few corporate jobs, mm-hmm. and I never had like crazy conflict with my coworkers, but there were certain coworkers I had where like I'm glad I didn't have to spend Thanksgiving with them.
Yeah.
Or like, you know what I'm saying? When you're working with your family, mm-hmm. they're your family, they're also your coworkers.
Right.
And that's like, that boundary is gone. Mm-hmm. Like you're spending Thanksgiving with the same people that you're doing, mm-hmm. Monday morning meetings with.
Yeah.
And that's,
it's super different. Yeah. I think even going back to working with Eli, like I enjoy it, but it is a different, it doesn't make our relationship different at all,
mm-hmm.
but it brings something new to it, which has been, interesting to kind of grow in. So,
well, let me ask you, because probably over maybe the last year now, maybe even longer, I'm not sure. At least the last year, though, every once in a while I'll get a text from you and it will be a song that you've written.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time I started hearing them, I was like, the first time you sent it, I actually didn't know it was you.
Really?
Yeah, I thought it was someone else. And then I realized, I was like, oh my God, this is really good. And
thank you, bro. That means a lot coming from
well,
you.
Well, I've loved getting to hear just the stuff that you send me. And I know, well, I guess I want to ask you, when did you start recording yourself or writing, mm-hmm. songs? When did that start?
Well, I think just like you, growing up around music as much as we did, mm-hmm. The love for music has, I think, been pretty ingrained in like all of us in some way, shape, or form. All of us meaning me, you, my brothers, your brothers, all, mm-hmm. of our cousins.
Yeah.
Whether people are recording music or not, I think we all have a passion for music. Uh-huh. So that's always been there. You've been a really big inspiration when it comes to music. And just hearing you when I was younger, that made me even more inclined to just be freestyling all the time. Me and Zion would, anytime we were in the car together, we'd be freestyling.
Yeah.
I had this thing when I was younger, every time I was hanging out with my friends, I always suggested that we turn on a beat and freestyle. I don't know if that was to like try to like show off or if I just really enjoyed doing it.
Yeah.
Either way, we had fun doing it.
Uh-huh.
So I've been doing that forever. And then about a year ago, I saw this app, an ad on Instagram called BandLab, and the ad said that you could use your headphones.
Mm-hmm.
So like the first few songs that I had made and sent you, I just, that day I downloaded it. I went to YouTube, got a beat, and I just recorded it with my headphones.
That's crazy.
The earbuds. And like, it just was like, opened up a whole new world. 'Cause I've like written lyrics in my notes, all like everybody in the world has done that, mm-hmm. you know, gone to their notes and like written lyrics. And I freestyled all the time, and then it's like actually recording it to where you could hear it back. So it just opened up this new world that I fell in love with and wish I had more time to do.
Yeah.
And I'm always thinking about like, what if one day I had a lot of time to do it? Mm-hmm. I don't know. But yeah, I love it.
That's awesome. So you started recording music like literally on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And is that still how you're doing it?
No. So I still use BandLab, that free app. Uh-huh. I just do it on my computer.
Okay.
Because so Eli had given me one of his old microphones.
Yeah.
And the interface as well. And so now I just plug that into my computer with like an adapter. But at first I was just using my iPhone in earbuds, like plugging earbuds.
That mic and interface that Eli gave you, mm-hmm. we used for some of the songs on the original Westmania.
I figured that's probably what y'all used at the time.
Yeah, we used that mic and then we had Eli's stuff here in Franklin, mm-hmm. and then I had some older stuff in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And we would kind of go back and forth, but that's awesome.
Yeah, that changed the game. Eli let me have that mic. I'm so grateful for it.
What's the dream? Is this just a hobby, or is it like more than that?
Right. I think, and I don't know. This was one of the things I wanted to ask you about it. When it comes to music, it's different. It's a type of pursuit that you almost like have to be all in or mm-hmm. all out. And the fact that I just started doing it, I've been like just kind of tinkling with the thoughts like, man, what if? Like mm-hmm. I'm kind of in that like what if stage, like
sure.
what if I ever release a song and it just caught traction uh-huh. and like there you go, mm-hmm. you know? But it's not always like that.
Right.
So it's, I don't know. The dream would be to always make music because I love doing it. And mm-hmm. I love being able to record and be creative. And I think the dream would be in some way, shape, or form, someone else can be positively affected by
yeah.
it. You know what I mean? I think whatever that means, mm-hmm. I think that would be the dream.
Yeah, I think... So I'm like you in that... Music has always been a part of mm-hmm. like my family life, like singing and like playing instruments it's just been a thing that I've right. been surrounded by. And music for me is kind of cliche, but I do feel like it's kind of a way of life. Like
mm-hmm.
I think I will never stop making music. Mm. And I feel like maybe I'd probably be lying if I said like when I was younger, my goal was like, I want the whole world to hear this
right.
stuff. Like that, I definitely wanted mm. that. And I still want that.
Mm.
I can honestly say that's not like my motivator for making music anymore.
It's not contingent on you making music.
I think part of that is I've been making music long enough now to where, and like nobody's listening to where like obviously I'm still making music,
right.
even though people, it's not like I have some huge
fire.
Following.
And it's fire.
But yeah, I think taking that pressure off of myself of like, this music isn't worth anything if other people aren't listening.
Mm.
Like, I think that's a lie. Mm. I think that, for me, like music has been, and specifically like the writing part of music has been really important for me in different seasons of my life mm-hmm. where, like if I didn't have that outlet, you got to find some way to
mm-hmm.
get out
yeah.
your emotions. They're coming
yeah,
out.
Right.
Whether you like it or not, they're coming
yeah.
out.
And you can kind of try to guide them towards something that you're passionate about so
totally.
That they come out
yep.
in a helpful way.
Yep. And I also think like, I think that all people are creative people.
Mm.
That doesn't mean everyone's a musician or mm-hmm. everyone's a painter or everyone's an actress or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think there is like this, it's part of human nature to want to create, to want to make something, to want to build something. And I think it's important that everyone has some sort of creative endeavor in their lives. I think, you know, the Bible says we're made in the image of God. Who is God? He's a creator. Like that part, that is a part of who we are. And so to me, like, music is the thing that I like to create. And so I'll keep doing that forever. And,
When you talk about how much the writing process is for you, that leads to a question that I wanted to ask, and that's just about your writing process. When do you choose to write? Do you have like days planned out where you're writing? And when you do write, what does that look like? Is it, can you write stuff before you even have a beat picked out? Do you wait till you make a beat?
That's a good question.
What's your process like?
So to answer your question, your last question, I don't really ever write if I don't have music to write to.
Or at least songwriting.
I'm not, I find that just the way I do it, like the words come out of the beat. So I'll listen to, I'll make my own beat. Like one thing I've learned is like, if I can't write, if I'm having a hard time writing something new, I just say, I'm just going to keep making beats, just keep making beats until one of the beats will like bring something out. And usually it's just like a line, like a single hook or whatever. And it's just like that, this line belongs in this beat for whatever reason. And then I'll just write off from there.
And you always, you're not a notes guy. You write down on paper. Right? Is there anything to that? Do you enjoy the feeling of writing or seeing it on paper? Or is it just how you started?
That's a good question. That is how I started. I don't know. I feel like I like having like my stuff all on paper because I feel like it's safer.
Yeah, I don't know if that makes sense. Well, it is safer.
Like, I get nervous. Like, what if my phone... What if I...
get a new phone. Everything's gone.
Yeah, I don't know. I like having that. I don't know if... I had a teacher in eighth grade. Her name was Miss Tidwell. Miss Tidwell was our my eighth grade algebra teacher. And I don't know if this is BS or not, but she said... She taught us that, like... anything you write down physically, it's
you remember it
better.
I've heard that.
Okay,
I think that's probably true. So I use it in school because I hear it.
Well, I remember her class, like at the beginning of every class, all we would do was she would write out stuff on the whiteboard, and I'm not kidding, like it would be like 10, 15 minutes of the class. All we do is just copy up what she's writing on the whiteboard. And she said that helped us learn better. I don't feel like it helped, but something about that made me feel like there's value in like physically writing stuff down.
I think there is. Even though I don't do that, I think that there is.
It's funny. I actually went with, this was maybe a month or two ago, I went with your dad to a studio here in downtown Franklin for a writing session. It was me, your dad, another artist, and another producer. And... yeah, you know, I'm not really, I've never been a part of like, I shouldn't say I've never been part of co-writes, but I'm not in those rooms a lot. And they had like a, these are guys who they write songs all the time. And they had like a Google Doc set up for everyone to just kind of type in whatever they wanted to write so we could all write it in one place. And I was like, I started doing it. And after like literally 5 minutes, I was like, I can't do this. And so I thankfully had brought my own stuff and I just started writing in my booklet, and we ended up writing a really fun, really cool song.
I heard it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I really liked it.
And that was fun to be a part of. So yeah, I like to physically write. What about, do you write on your notes or?
I typically, like you said, and I don't even know why I asked if you ever wrote without a beat. I think that'd be really hard. I always write.
Some people do.
That'd be really hard. I typically, so I don't spend a ton of time making music. So it's weird. I do a lot of driving, either driving home or driving to Auburn where my girlfriend Grace goes to school, which is like 3.5 hours. And so that's like once a month, maybe once every 6 weeks. When I do that, I'll go to YouTube and find beats. And then I'll just kind of freestyle, like, because this is like 3 hours where I don't have anything to do.
Yeah.
And I can kind of pay attention to just driving and like making something. So I'll kind of, like you said, I'll scroll through the beats till I'm trying to kind of freestyle on every beat. And like some of it sounds like funny and weird. Yeah. And I'm glad no one's in the car with me.
Right.
But it's fine because no one's in the car with me. So I just,
I was going to say that's an important part because I've done that fine. Before.
Like I'll just freestyle because I can't write while I'm driving. And then like every time, by the time I'm there, there was a beat that I liked that I was just flowing on. And so I'll just, that whatever I enjoy that I liked, I'll just kind of memorize it over the weekend while I'm in Auburn. And then when I drive home, I'll go back to it and just memorize it. And then typically the Sunday night when I get back, I'll go in my dorm room and there's like a indention in the wall. It's about 4 feet deep, 4 feet wide. And I plug it up with the extra mattress in my dorm room. And then I'll lay down that maybe 30 seconds that I memorized. And then from there on, that'll be like where I kind of work from. And just, I like writing. I only ever write stuff to memorize it. I like to just like freestyle every take. Because for me, naturally, that's the way the best wording comes out.
Yeah.
Like, I'll just try it over again and eventually like the words will kind of fix themselves rather than like writing it down and then maybe the wording not be right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
that's how a lot of rappers today are doing it. I feel like, I mean, the guy who originally like made that famous was Jay-Z. Jay-Z famously never has apparently never
Lil
written
Wayne
anything
doesn't
down.
Write yeah
guys like but that. I know like there's a lot of there are a lot of studio sessions today where guys just show up and nothing's written and they just go line by line and they call it punching in. They just punch in online.
I like punching in because I'm by myself and I'm just kind of sitting with my computer, and if I want to do something 20 times I can do that. I know people will do that still, do it 20 times, but like when I'm doing it by myself, I just feel more comfortable to just like keep punching myself.
Oh, that reminded me. I think like the whole you freestyling in the car and the, like there's something about like just the freedom of saying whatever comes to your mind
and
like,
making it sound good.
Yeah. Like a lot of times, I think there is a line, there is like a border of like overthinking that that causes a lot of songs to not be written.
I can't really write well because I just overthink.
Yeah.
And I can't, sometimes I'll go to my notes. Like if you go look in my notes, it's just a bunch of random lines from different songs scattered because I just write them down to remember them. But if I ever go to a blank sheet of notes with a beat, my mind thinks too slow compared to if I just like start making melody noises into the mic. Like it doesn't always just start with words. I could just kind of find the vibe and eventually.
I think that what it allows you to do as well when you're writing in that way is you're able to be more honest. Like you're, because it's more real.
You're not over,
like,
you're not thinking just, about what
you're just saying what you feel. And like that's honest. So, sometimes it's,
and I love that about music.
Yeah.
And I love that about like, kind of going back to what you said about it doesn't matter if people hear it. I don't know about you, and I was going to ask you this, but I listen, like if I make something, I listen to it a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Like I listen to it way too much, but it's just because like I love hearing. I know what came to my mind was not like written down. So I like hearing like, dang, like I came up with all that just like by just saying whatever came to my mind. I think it's so fun about music, and I love that about music.
I mean, not to get like over spiritual, but I even think about like just the creation story in Genesis, how it says God created the heavens and the earth, and he saw that it was good. Like each, at the end of each day, God says, this was good.
Yeah.
Like there's something, a part of the creative act is like appreciating what you did. Yeah.
And that's really good.
I don't know. I think that's a normal thing. Yeah. I think it's weird if you make something and you never listen to it. I will say, so usually when I make, when I finish a song, I'm listening to it a lot. After, as like the years go by, now it's hard for me to listen to stuff that I made like 4, 5, 6 years ago.
I already don't listen. So I maybe have like 10 songs, maybe 12. I already don't listen to probably like the first four anymore. But at one point, I listened to those first four every day.
And you were like, I can't believe how good this
is. So yeah, I was like, I'm so good. That's literally exactly.
It's funny like, how over time, like, you start, you get better.
Yeah, it's funny too, because I go back and the first few songs I made were with the earbuds. And at the time, I actually thought they were like ready. I was like, these are ready. And you know what I mean? And now I go back and listen to them and like, I appreciate, like, I appreciate those songs still, but, like, they're not very good. And so it's, like you said, you get better. I feel like, I feel like I get better with every song just because you, you learn about all the things that we've talked about and you get to use them to your advantage. So.
Do you, it's fine if you don't, but do you like to read?
I don't, but I am the type of guy that I've always said, like, I'm gonna do it eventually. So don't count me out yet.
Okay. There's this really good book that I read a couple of years ago. I love to read.
I know you do.
This book by Rick Rubin. Do you know who Rick Rubin is?
I don't.
He's a huge music producer. Like, he produced Jay-Z and I think he's like AC/DC, like all those. Maybe not AC/DC, but like a lot of artists that you've heard of. You probably, it's funny you've never heard of Rick Rubin because that's kind of his thing. Is he's like in the shadows. But he's a producer and he wrote this, he wrote a book not that long ago called The Creative Act. I think you should read it because it really helped me with my creative process. Like it helped me to not only see it more clearly, like what I was actually doing, like how amazing it is that we have the ability to like create something that doesn't exist. Like, I think that's part of the reason why you listen to songs after you make them, because it's like, this didn't exist yesterday.
I think about that exact detail. I usually think about it in the form of, before I did this, this, well, someone made this beat first, and then it was a blank beat. And then, like, whatever I put on it mixed with the beat that he made, like, made this song that doesn't sound like anyone else's song. I really like that part. Where you can make something new, and you could do whatever you want.
Yeah, I think you would like this book, bro. The Creative Act. I'll text you. It's funny. I had a copy, and then I gave it. I loaned it out to one of my friends who's an artist. I still haven't seen it, but I need to get it back. All right, man. Well, last question. Do you plan on releasing any music?
Yes. It's just such a thing where... I don't, and I was going to ask you about this. I'll just go ahead and ask it on the pod. You released music on SoundCloud first. Something about, and I was just going to ask you your opinion on it. In my head, for some reason, I don't want to release music until it's, it would be on like Spotify or Apple Music. And that just is a little more of a process. Would you say it's worth it to just release stuff on SoundCloud just to get it out?
No. I wouldn't say like you have to just start putting stuff out. Like, I think if for, if you want to wait to put it on bigger streaming platforms, you should do that. I don't think there's a right or wrong way to do it. SoundCloud for me was, I mean, that's how I started releasing like my high school diss raps.
But then you also had some projects.
Later on.
Yeah.
SoundCloud is just easier.
Yeah.
There's less red tape involved.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be, I also wouldn't be intimidated by like the process of getting your stuff on Spotify.
I would say I want, I've wanted to release my music, but I'm too, I'll call it lazy to like dive into whatever I have to do to do it. And that's like, like you're saying, like, don't be scared of it. I just need to like
No, you can do it. There's plenty of people out there that you're a lot smarter than you. They're able to do it. Okay. So you can do it too, bro. All right, man. That. Well, I'm proud of you and excited for you. I hope you enjoy this last summer break, dude.
Thank you.
After this, no more summer breaks.
And it's just life.
I'm proud of you. I'm excited for your future, man.
Thanks for having me again.
Maybe in another 3 years, we'll have you back on.
Yeah, I would love to.
All right.
Thanks, bro.
Of course. To those of you listening, thank you for tuning in. We'll be back with more episodes soon. Have a great day.